Four Midwest Guys presents...
People have heard the stories. They've read the articles. But they've never seen...
Marvel DC King!
Hey everybody, and welcome back to Marvel DC Kings. I'm Brian Ankenbauer, your host. With me tonight is Brian Willenbrink.
What is going on?
And his brother Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going good, man. So tonight, guys, we're going to go with the same format we did last time. The new season, new format, I guess. Where we're just going to basically talk about points in the show. We're not going to go scene by scene. Let's start with The Flash. Mm. Okay, so we got the new villain, Dr. Alchemy, who's giving powers to everybody. This episode, he gives powers to, I can't remember what her name was.
Magenta.
Yeah, that's the villain.
It's Frankie something.
Frankie something, you're right. It's Frankie whatever it was.
I don't remember.
So her power is that her eyes turn pink and she can lift things.
She's like telekinetic.
Yeah. So.
Was it that or was it just metal? I thought it was more like, what's her name? Or like Magneto? What's his name? Yeah, like Magneto.
No, I just assumed it was just purely telekinetic.
Oh, I thought it was metal only because she pulled the
light. You are right. She only really does do it with metal objects, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I actually hadn't noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be like Magneto.
So they just spelled it different. They called it Magenta instead of Magneto?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Use basically the same letters.
They're like, technically Magneto's a Marvel name, so... Make a magenta. It's like a blend between Magneto and Scarlet Witch.
We'll make her a girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. I didn't care for the villain in this.
I actually kind of did. Especially because I think it kind of shows Flash is kind of an interesting character, and especially in relation to his villains. Like, if you go back to, like, some old Justice League episodes, like, there's one episode of the animated series where, like, the Trickster is, like, in a bar, and he's, like, off his meds, and... You pretty much have Flash to sit down with him, like, come on, man, you need to give us information, you need to go back on your meds, and, like, kind of, now, not every, like, superhero thing needs to be solved with, like, punching people.
Oh, no,
I think that's kind of a cool thing you do see with the Flash.
Well, I do like the Flash aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the villain. It just didn't seem like it ranked up there with all the other ones that we've seen on the show.
Well, I mean... Don't worry, is the kind of split personality thing a little weird, or the disassociative personality? Like, kind of a weird character trait. And in some regards, she's not even really a villain as much as just, like, kind of a mentally disturbed kid who...
Well, I think half of her was.
Yeah.
And I think it was the half that Alchemy was pulling from the other realm.
Hmm.
And so I could see that part.
But it was... In many ways, she's a very... She's not a very straightforward villain.
Right. Well, even at the end of the show, and he hugs her, and she's like, "I didn't mean to do it." Blah blah blah. And it's like she wasn't a supervillain for any means.
Yeah.
And it was just almost like Alchemy was toying, just trying to pull some, you know, pull as many people.
There's definitely aspects of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you look towards, like, I forget the rival's, like, actual name, but you look at how his personality kind of switched in this, like, timeline versus when he becomes a rival. And there definitely is, like, a bit of a mental twisting there.
Right.
I thought the villain was okay. I think I bought him more to the Jesse Quick part of the episode, and Wally.
Where he almost tries to just...
Being jealous of Jesse Quick, and how that, you know, he learns about her dreaming about being somebody else. He's having the same thing. Mm-hmm. And how I think that Alchemy might use that and might try to turn Wally against the Flash.
Yeah,
and...
you see Wally be very heavily, like, desired to get, like, Speed Force. Like, almost willing to, like, risk his life or kill himself.
Precisely.
And once you hear, like, Magenta talking about, like, the dreams and how she, like, got to that position, he's like, oh, this can work out. Okay.
Yeah.
And you just see him, like, kind of just in his own head. And...
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, like, when Jesse tells him that she had those dreams and that kind of heard a voice... And all of a sudden, the one day she was crossing the sidewalk, and then everything just froze, mm-hmm. and she was able to speed out of there, and she hasn't stopped running since. And mm-hmm. you know, you could tell he was jealous. And then when Barry tries to tell him, "No, you don't want it," because Barry's trying to protect him because he knows what happened the other timeline, where he thought he was invincible, and then he died versus the rival.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to save him from that,
Yep.
And Wally takes it the opposite way and thinks that Flash doesn't want two speedsters in the same family. And
yeah, it's, you can almost, he almost thinks it's like it's a jealous thing on his end.
So it almost turning it into like there's they're going to turn Wally evil.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah, that's I've dug that part of the episode. Magenta thing felt like a side story to me.
Right, exactly.
I dug the magenta thing, especially once you get to the point where like she's lifting up an entire
the ship
giant
thing
boat.
Was impressive. I think the character herself has something to be desired.
I don't know. I think there's something interesting about having a character that's just
crazy.
Well, not just crazy, but just like is an issue, is causing problems, but isn't necessarily evil by default. Like, because, I mean, there's lots
really
of times...
You really like that gray Jedi crap, don't you?
No, I mean, I think there's a lot of times in life where, you know, you do have to deal with things that are, you know, mental health issues, that are just conflicts that arise, and, you know, life's random and weird, and having something that's not always in, like, the same box is interesting.
You like her as a wild card, then?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, what did you guys think about, it's a new season, but we're not getting a new Harrison Wells? The other Earth wasn't affected by Barry's time rift, so they're still the same.
Mm.
So when they came back through, they're still in. They have all the same memories that Barry has, and you didn't at first. You didn't realize it, and you're like, you know, how is he going to be different this time because Harrison was bad, then he was good, you know, and this time he's good again. And then they go into that room, they go into the test lab, and Barry's like, they're like, I've never been here.
And he picks up on it. He's like, you went back in time, didn't you?
Exactly, because he's like...
Like, almost was immediately able to call him out on it.
And he's like, how do you know that? He goes, because you've never been here before, neither have we, but they all know where it is. And I thought that was kind of a...
Oh, yeah, it's a funny, nice play. Actually. Like, it makes sense because they are kind of cut off from that timeline when it happens. And it allows, like, another kind of set of characters that kind of have that perspective of what's changed.
Right, it's not just Barry that understands what's changed. There's extra people that know.
And I mean, especially once you actually have Jesse Quick as a speedster there who's also working aside that or kind of like getting your feel for everything there. It's an interesting dynamic with that all there.
What was weird is that Wally seems to remember everything too with Jesse Quick. Like,
or at the very least, their his timeline didn't change that heavily enough from, like, either form.
Right.
From, like, pre-Flashpoint to post-Flashpoint.
Right.
Apparently it's similar enough that event still occurred.
Right, and that's why I was... Because it just seemed kind of odd. Everybody else kind of had the changes, and you can see it, except for his character. You don't really see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I actually found really interesting with the episode is you have Harrison Wells trying to have everyone talk Jesse Quick out of trying to be a speedster... And then he goes to the character that has the frost abilities.
Caitlin Snow.
To kind of like, and she goes through that speech of like, well, if I had this sort of thing, I would want to take it slow and not really go rush into it. And it's a fun kind of little like foreshadowing, I think.
Right, and she also, when she gets angry at Wells, when he's like, what did you say to her? Mm. And she's like, well, if you try to bring her in and help her instead of pushing her away, maybe she would come to you instead of, you know, almost as if...
Like saying the same thing for her.
That's the struggle she's kind of facing right now, where, you know, people have these powers and they're all villains and she's getting the power and she doesn't...
Well, especially she knows like an alternate universe version of herself does become like almost a super villain or is.
Right.
You know, like that has to kind of play into that as well.
It's too bad, though, because I just go off on a sidetrack just for a sec. I like Wells evil. He plays a very good bad guy, that actor.
Oh, if you like go back to like season Wells. One, yeah.
Yeah, it's a real shame because I like him as Reverse Flash. I still like Reverse Flash, but I liked him a hell of a lot better when
that actor plays it way better than...
Way better.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons I loved I got hooked on The Flash was because of that... Particular. I can't think of the guy's name now.
Yeah, I can't either. But I mean, even if you're comparing him to the actor that plays Zoom, even that.
Like, he does that.
He kicks as Reverse ass. Flash. He was way better than Zoom.
Oh, he was so good because it was so, you know, he's so tormented the whole time. Mm. You know, here he is creating the Flash, but in reality, he wants to kill the Flash. It's just good shit.
Right? Do we think that this? This season, do we like this season of The Flash compared to the other ones?
I think it's on par with season two so far.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. I don't think it'll be as good as season one. I do kind of like the fact that they're playing off Flashpoint like they did in season two, where he created the portal to Earth 2, and that was the catalyst for everything going wrong.
Like this season, kind of led into it.
This season, it's all about what he did in creating Flashpoint.
Yeah, I mean, especially because he isn't aware of what all the consequences are. Like, he's not aware of whether anything coming forward is something that would have occurred naturally, or if that's a result of his own timeline. Then he has, like, accepted and move on, and there's that kind of added layer that makes it really interesting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, one thing we did see that popped up today, actually tonight, was images of Mark Hamill playing Jokester from Earth 3.
We haven't been to Earth 3.
But we knew it was coming, based on some of the synopsis for the show. We knew there was going to be, I think, what we said, like, or five Earths or something?
Seven Earths? In the DC comics, there's a lot. There might even be
infinite number to get into it, but yeah.
But
usually it doesn't go beyond, like, 7 or 12 in any given storyline.
Right,
it's weird to
do this more. So he's going to play the Jokester from Earth 3, and he kind of looks similar to
Joker.
Well, I mean,
The Trickster kind of dressed, but he looks like the Joker. He's even got, like, in the pictures they show, he even has, like, green hair and white face paint.
Now, really? Nice. Will he go on and use the voice, though? Because that's almost copyright.
Well, if you look at what he did with Trickster in last season,
I know, it's pretty, like, damn close.
Oh, yeah. It is. They have been inching closer to wanting to just make him a live action Joker for that show.
They'd be better off.
Yeah. And I'm not even against them doing it subtly, like, just slowly transitioning to making him live action Joker.
It is, Joker is, you know, DC, so I guess they could do it.
Well, not just that, but I mean, you can make the argument, Hamill, just from a voice acting perspective, is one of the most well known and probably best Jokers that is out there.
By far.
Like, don't get me wrong, I might put Heath Ledger's above his a little bit, but in terms of screen time, he's definitely been
the
most definitive one.
Now, they're bringing in Jokester, so maybe Earth 4 bring Joker in, who knows?
Yeah.
But
do you think we'll actually have, like, multiple versions of these characters in the room at one time?
And that's what I'm saying.
Like, you have Trickster, Jokester, and Joker.
Yeah, and do we see that, or do we see, you know, like you wanted to see, where we see Tom Cavanaugh as Evil Harrison Wells or as Reverse Flash?
I'd rather see him back as Reverse Flash. He's played such a good villain. Oh my god! Wow.
So
either that, or you, like, it just leads into a battle of the multiverse sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So let's go. Let's switch pace here. We all see Legends tomorrow.
Yep.
Okay. So we get to see the Justice Society.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Do we like this version of the Justice Society or the one from Smallville?
Smallville's better. It had Hawkman. Nothing's cooler than Hawkman.
Really?
Yeah, they did a really good job with that. And they
I got to be honest. Hawkman has never been a particularly interesting character.
They did really good. They took the guy. It was the same guy from Stargate. Played him on Smallville. Sweet job. I really dug it. This society, Justice Society, not quite as flashy, but still cool. I really like the Vixen character. I thought that was pretty sweet.
Well, she was on a couple episodes.
The thing Arrow. I actually find funny about that is, like, they've been actually doing, like, a Vixen, like, animated short thing from time to time, right?
Correct. Well, on the CWC,
whatever that
is. It's online.
And it's, like, what, like a 5-minute clip here or there sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was kind of interesting that they're actually kind of having the character exist in multiple forms, almost.
Well, so she showed up on Arrow,
mm-hmm.
and that's where she got her big push, was mm-hmm. Arrow. And then they said that her interacting on Arrow spawned the CW seed, so it was kind of in between. So instead of having that actress play, like, it would go full blown whatever, I think the actress actually, I think she actually voices the character too.
Yeah, that's actually something I was curious about, because it does sound kind of similar.
Yeah, she actually voices the character on it too. So,
okay.
So that, I mean, that's a cool tie-in. As far as the Justice Society, for me, I liked the set on Smallville.
Like the old building sort of thing?
I liked the set on Smallville,
mm-hmm.
but I liked the characters on this one.
Oh, really? Because I like Dr. Fate and everything from Smallville a lot.
Right. And I like that
sounds much more like just like a classic like Justice League sort of setup.
It is, in a way, but yeah.
Well, the Justice Society
was the precursor.
Right, exactly. That's why I like the setting of the original Justice League, but I like these characters, like the way they fought and everything else. Because the other one, they didn't really fight really good, and it was really bad acting. We already saw Hawkman in Legends of Tomorrow in season one.
Mm-hmm.
So he's there if they want to pull that character in to this universe. They already have somebody who is Hawkman.
Mm-hmm.
So they could pull that in, they could tie that in probably to Legends. So that's where I am in the Justice Society part. Is it just me, or do the Nazis seem like they're every season make a big part of this show?
Well, it's a show about correcting issues and time travel, and apparently they love fighting Nazis, so...
Well, and to be honest, it has kind of that campy feel. It even has a little bit of that Indiana Jones feel from time to time, so... You know, Indiana Jones always fought Nazis. So.
Well, especially in this episode in particular, you can make some kind of comparisons to like some of the campy sort of Nazi escalades.
Yeah, I mean, it's their history's big bad guy, so
And they do talk. There is comparisons that the new Steel, the guy who is the historian,
there is talk.
Like they're comparing him to the Legends of Tomorrow version of the Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Because he's such a history buff and he knows all the history stuff and everything else.
And then in this episode, you actually make him like the grandson of like a JSA member.
Commander Steel, which I'd never heard of before. He looks an awful lot like Captain America. Yeah, but
it's very similar.
Well, he's Commander Steel.
Yeah.
And then this guy, Steel, who's his grandson, is... what's it called when you can't stop bleeding?
Hemophilia.
He's hemophiliac.
But at the end of this episode, you actually see him injected with that variant of a super serum that was modified by Palmer. So you don't know how long that stays in the system.
You do know.
Corrects it.
You do know. They reveal that he turns into Citizen Steel, which is kind of like their version of Colossus.
I was going to say, he looked a lot like Colossus in the preview.
Their version of Colossus.
Okay, so... I was not aware of that.
Kind of looks like a mix between Silver Surfer and Colossus.
Yeah, so...
Well, from that picture, he looks a lot like, what is the second Transformer, T2, something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Terminator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he's kind of taking over this team as, like, the history buff.
Yeah.
Are you guys glad to see that, or would you rather see Rip back?
Honestly, so far in this series, I actually do like his addition as the character. I might not feel the same way a couple episodes down, depending on how they kind of play it out.
Mm-hmm. I'm still catching up on season one. I'm only in a few episodes of season one. I really started with season two. So I don't know how much of an expert I'm on this. So far, I'm digging this season two cast a lot better, but I don't know.
I know. I really liked Rip Hunter, I really liked him a lot.
Yeah, he was a good character, and I wouldn't be surprised we see him back at some point.
Yeah, I'm hoping we do. I'm hoping they manage to go through whatever time spot he's at and pick him back up. One thing, we'll say Canary kind of put in, White Canary is put in charge of the team.
Mm.
At first, it was the other one half of Firestorm, the old guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Stein.
Stein, but he has the intellectual part. But he can't think on his feet without analyzing stuff and everything else, so he's not very quick.
He's not very battle-ready.
Right, so that's why he hands over the reins to her.
Right.
Later on, I think what I read was Citizen Kane takes a more leadership role in this group.
Well, yeah, if he gets his powers, I could see
right.
that.
Well, that, and he's definitely useful in terms of hunting down like anomalies, because that's really what they brought him on for in the season, right? It's just... He can kind of pick up like small little things,
right? Because they don't have the Time Masters anymore, so they needed somebody who knows history to be able to jump through to correct stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's why they picked him up. Now, one thing I will say about this, because we didn't talk about Legends of Tomorrow last week, did we?
We did last briefly.
So, Reverse Flash.
Oh God!
As the villain.
He's the main bad guy in this one.
Yeah.
And for everything I'm reading, he's the one that's bringing together the Legion of Doom.
Kind of seems like it.
Well, no, I mean, like, I've read the thing, and that's what even the director says.
That's the idea.
That's the idea, is that the Reverse Flash is the one bringing... We won't know until later in the season why he's bringing them together, but he's bringing together the Legion of Doom because he needs help with something.
Is that...
All right, that's at least more interesting than him just going back in time for shits and giggles.
Right, and that's what I was... Because I was like...
Isn't every time he goes back in time, he has to risk being chased by one of those, like, time ghost things?
Time wraith.
The time wraiths?
Yeah.
No, that was, it wasn't, I'm trying to remember what the deal was with that. It wasn't just if you went back in time.
Like, I thought they actually had issues with time travel in a general sense, and, like, you had to, like, be cautious about avoiding them.
Yeah, you had to. There was that.
But he already knew how to avoid them. Hmm. Reverse Flash did. It was Zoom that didn't know how to do it.
Oh, okay.
So, and I can't remember what the reasoning was behind that.
Not only that, but Flash and his team figured out how to kill him. So,
yeah. I can't remember what the deal was, but yeah. Reverse Flash already knew how to get rid of him. Yeah. That's why they're not a big deal with him.
Right.
So, do we
have any idea what they're like? Which villains are actually setting up for the Legion of Doom in this scenario?
Oh, it's going to be all of them.
Like Lex Luthor, Grodd.
It'll be Grodd. I'm sure we'll see Killer Shark. So King Shark.
Do you think we'll have King Shark instead of like having Black Manta?
Probably.
So.
So
is this going to be the setup for the crossover event then, or?
Probably.
Yeah.
At least part with Flash. Mm. Yeah. You'll see that, because I'm sure we'll get Supergirl, Martian Manhunter, Arrow, Flash, all together.
Yeah.
Facing off against these, because the other ones they're going to bring in are Damian Dark is part of it.
Okay.
Reverse Flash, Grodd, I want to say, I can't remember, there was two more that they had named. One of the other ones is, they're bringing What's-His-Call-It back, because he did sign on for all the shows. Captain Cold.
Oh, okay.
Really? They're going to make him part of the Legion of Doom?
Well, because he always was.
Yeah.
He was one of the main villains of Flash.
So he's going to have to go up against his brother.
Okay.
Partner. So he's going to go back to being a bad guy. Because if you remember, when he got picked up for this, he kind of turned to the good side a little bit.
Yeah.
And then his character got killed off.
Mm.
So my guess is that they're going to bring him back.
Mm.
And he'll be the bad version of himself.
Okay.
Captain Cold.
I mean, if you were going to bring in a character from, like, Supergirl, they've already brought in, like, Metallo this season. That'd be an interesting choice.
Not that version. I'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But that's good. We'll go to that. We'll go to Supergirl. Did you guys like Metallo?
No. A little bit.
Really?
I didn't like the fact that there were two of them. Number one. Number two, I didn't like how... I know Metallo slowly becomes all metal over time. It already started with his hand, but I didn't like how the kryptonite stick just didn't look right to me.
All right. The prosthetics did look bad.
Yeah,
I will give you that one. Like, especially how you have like the shirt sleeves on, and then you have like this fake chest thing.
Yeah,
which is clearly a fake chest thing.
And they when they break the kryptonite at the end, the kryptonite has goo in it, and I'm like, what the hell?
That one I didn't get that either.
I was like,
I actually was fine with them creating like a duplicate Metallo. Like,
I didn't like that.
That was fine. Like, because more or less, Metallo is kind of a prototype, and Metallo is just kind of the surviving prototype, and that's
right.
Fine.
And then she even said, "Well, you know, let's take it to phase two. Who are you going to get the little bot?" And then he became phase two. Yeah. The green goo that you referred to when they went through his heart.
Yeah.
That was his heart that they pulled out, and it was blood. It was the kryptonite that was running through his veins. That was what was running out.
Yeah.
It wasn't a goo.
Yeah, but there's like a liquid kryptonite thing. Like, that's kind of funky.
That was their new thing. That was their next step in an evolution of the Metallo
model.
Though I actually did like Metallo, but I will agree to your point. The chest piece looked really bad.
Yeah. Right, which was my next question. The list was, how are the graphics so far for the CW? Other than that, I think they've been okay.
Other than that,
it's been a step in the right direction, but you do still see some kind of funky things here and there like that.
Yeah.
I still think Martian Manhunter doesn't look particularly great. Like, whenever you actually have to see him in that form, like, it's not great looking.
It's okay, but it's... You're right. It needs some tweaking.
He looks too much like when they tried to do a Dragon Ball movie.
It looks a little.
That guy.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the green guy.
Oh, also, I mean, it has like a really heavy CGI feel in a show that really, or in the kind of shows that have been really good about kind of avoiding that, with the exception of something like King Shark, where you kind of have to.
Right.
So it just kind of looks off still. I mean, you can only do so much because you still have to kind of slowly modify the character from when it was on ABC.
Right.
So.
So in this episode, we find out that Superman's heading back to Metropolis. And we see him go out the same way he came in. Meaning, at the very end of the episode, you see Superman, you see him land after he takes off, takes the kryptonite in the lead case. My guess is the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
And then instantly he lands, changes back into Clark Kent, answers his phone, talks to Perry White, and says, you know, I'm on it, blah, 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 talking about the reporting stuff.
Mm.
So you see him come into the show as Clark Kent, and you see him leave on the episode as Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Will we see him again this season?
Oh, yeah.
I think if you're going to have like a big crossover event, it'd be kind of fun to throw him back into
it.
Yeah,
he has to be. You're especially going to do Legion of Doom. You got to have somebody up against Lex.
Yeah. And at the same time, it does definitely seem like we might see Lex later on in Supergirl, so that'd be a good balancing thing, unless they make Cadmus or Lana Luthor like kind of the larger villain.
Just don't make it Rosenbaum, as much as I liked him in Smallville.
Oh, it won't be Rosenbaum, but very good.
I've heard rumors they're talking to him.
He won't be. So do you think the show will be good without him?
Because yeah, I think the show's going to be okay without him. Though I think he does a really good Superman.
Yeah, he was a very good Superman.
I thought so. I liked him a lot as Superman, and I hope to see more of him. And rumor has it we might.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, they're already kind of rumoring like they might consider like doing a spinoff of like a Superman show with him. So
yeah, I could see that easily.
And I think it is like the portrayal of does strike that nice balance between like Clark Kent and Superman, and not making him so overpowered he's uninteresting.
Yeah, I think I would like to see if they did a live action like they did with the animated series back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that would be pretty damn sweet.
Yeah.
Speaking of people leaving the show, they kind of wrote Cat Grant off as her going on sabbatical.
Yeah,
kinda. So she's not really wrote off the whole show, but, you know, for the time being, they're saying, she, you know, she's like, I'm leaving for a while, leaving Jimmy Olsen in charge of her publication.
Well, that bit was a little weird, but, like, outside of the Jimmy Olsen taking over bit, I thought they actually did a really good job. Like, it kind of fit with character.
Right, and we know that they're doing that because she didn't want to move to Canada. Mm. She wanted to stay in L.A. with Harrison Ford, obviously, and so they kind of wrote her that way so that she could have that, I can come back every so often for so many episodes for the season, but kind of be off the show.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like, that seemed like a more emotional sort of, like, set of scenes than we had noticed in all of last season.
Yeah.
Like, for all of last season's, like, romantic triangle sort of stuff, like, that was actually probably better than almost anything we saw in that, you know, regard.
Right.
Yeah, her character, I didn't like her on the CBS version of her, so the CW version of her probably would have been better. That being said, I guess I'm not sad to see her go by any stretch of the imagination. I kind of like the idea, while I think it's kind of copycat a little too much having her be a reporter like Clark, I do like the idea. I kind of like her editor and playing off her editor a little bit.
They're just kind of the
hard kind of ass, kind of the Perry White, but maybe a little bit more hardcore than Perry White is. Yeah.
Okay. So let's switch over to ABC's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
All right. This season, which we didn't talk about last week.
No.
So this season we get Ghost Rider join the team or join the show. We won't say join the team yet.
No.
But it's heading that direction. You can obviously see it. Or if not anything else, he's going to be, like, for the first half of the season, work with them.
Yeah.
Do we like this version of Ghost Rider? More so than, I guess, the Nicolas Cage version?
I will say this. I think, graphically, it's better than the movie version.
Do you like the character more than Nicolas Cage version?
The jury's still out. There isn't a whole lot so far to go on, as far as his character. He's okay. I think, I don't know, you know, I think so far I would say whatchamacallit is better from the movie as far as the character, but the graphics are better, I think, on
Johnny
the TV.
Johnny Blaze is better than this car mechanic.
Yeah.
How are you liking the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. version of this so far?
I don't like it.
You know? Why?
Because it's more of a... you don't get the look into my eyes and see all the pain and blah, blah, blah. I like that aspect of the Ghost Rider.
Oh, that kind of pro-like sort of spirit of vengeance.
And right. This is more like, you know, you did wrong, and then he just touches him and they turn to dust, like flamed up. You know what I mean?
So it's very kind of quick. There's no emotional kind of thing to it. It's just like, and gone.
Right. And there's no like... In the movie, when he does the look into my eyes and see all your sins...
The penance stare. Yeah.
And you see what's caused them to be that vengeance, you know, like why they're being targeted like that. Whereas this one, basically you just see him walking up and saying,
yeah,
you did something bad. And you're like, well, what did they do?
Yeah.
You know,
like,
you
there's no background. There's no kind of like torturous... revenge sort of thing.
The other thing that I'm kind of worried about is keep Ghost Rider mythical. Do not create a scientific explanation as to why he is the way that he is.
I mean, Marvel has tried to make that attempt. Once you look at like the Thor movies, like in like even the Avengers, where you have that all magic is just misunderstood science sort of thing.
Right, and they did a good job. I didn't think they'd be able to pull that off, but they did. But, I mean, Ghost Rider is...
I mean, he basically said he made a deal with the devil. He said it numerous times. Yeah. So, they're not trying to do it scientifically or say there was an explosion and that's why he does it.
Well, it's a character I don't think you can really do
they've
that.
They've got these ghost race and it looks like it was a science experiment gone wrong. And that's
but not for him. That was just for his uncle.
But somehow he's connected.
Because it was his uncle.
Right, and I'm afraid that his powers are going to be revealed from coming from the same scientific experiment. Yeah. That's what I fear.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I hope not. But
so we see the team is kind of back together, at least working together.
Yeah.
As opposed to the very first episode of this season where we saw them all broken apart and reporting to different people and everything else.
Yeah.
Who has been your favorite character thus far as this season?
I still like Coulson. I liked him better as the director. I don't like him being back as an agent again, necessarily. But yeah, Coulson's probably still my favorite. Maybe Daisy, too.
Obviously. Quake?
Yeah, Quake, whatever.
Aaron?
Sky, Daisy, Quake, whatever.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't really have a preference.
Okay. I don't really have one either, not this season. Because I really used to like... what's his name? He got killed off.
Oh, the dude that became like the hive creature?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
I really liked his character. I really liked that actor. So if I had to pick one this season so far, I'd have to say it would probably be Daisy or Quick, right?
Yeah.
And speaking of which, do we like that character as Sky, the computer tech, as Daisy, the Inhuman, or Quake, where she fully gets her ability to use her stuff after dealing with the... the blue people, what were they named?
The Kree.
So,
what exactly is the difference between Daisy the Inhuman and Quake?
Daisy was in the very beginning stages. That's her real name. Mm. She got it from her mother and her father.
Okay.
And so she didn't really have full ability to use... She didn't understand what her power really was.
Mm.
She just knew that she was Inhuman.
Mm.
And she was on that cusp.
Okay, so like beginner level X-Men versus... seasoned.
Right, and then as Quake, she can control the bursts, and she can fly with them using the waves, the sound waves and stuff. So she's more developed.
Okay.
So, I mean, which way do you like her the best? Because she's a very good actress playing that role.
Yeah.
But do you like her better as Sky, Daisy, or Quake?
I liked her better either as Sky or Quake, not so much in between. I like her this season, and I liked her in the first couple seasons of Sky. Either version is fine with me. So
Aaron?
I actually haven't seen the season, so.
Oh, okay. I would prefer her as, I liked her as Sky, but I really like her powers as Quake.
Exactly, yeah.
But I don't like where she is as Quake. You know, like, she's not really part of the team anymore, and she's more rogue, more trying to do things on her own. But she's trying to do things on her own to save the team.
Well, she kind of has this death wish since Whatchamacallit got killed off and sacrificed himself for her and all this stuff, so...
So, like, survivor's guilt.
Very much so, yeah. So, yeah, I don't have... I'm kind of... The jury's still out. I want to see where they go with it before I guess I pass final judgment on it.
Okay, let's switch over to Gotham.
Okay.
Okay, so...
the ambiguously gay villains. Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't like that? You don't like the fact they're changing? Like, there's a love story developing?
There's just... no reason for it. I don't have any problem making them gay.
Oh, come on. We've already had, like, Jim Gordon have, like, 2 to 3 random love interests.
Make it...
That
make
really it, didn't play the storyline too heavily.
Make it worth it, though. It doesn't... What... Oh, what good on, does like, it do in the story?
There's already line. Been, like, what, 2 or 3 lesbian couples that really didn't serve the storyline?
Just make that... I have an issue with that, too. Make it part of the damn story. Don't just do it to please the... community and get your brownie points for making them gay.
Well, I mean, this is a show that's taken a lot of liberties with its characters.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, in comparison to aging up Poison Ivy 20 years for shits and giggles, and this, the look, Poison Ivy thing seems like more of a leap.
Here's the problem. You've got 2 of the big 3 supervillains, as far as I'm concerned, in Batman. Mm. From my point of view. What are you going to do? Add Joker in and turn into a circle jerk? I mean, it just... I don't...
Well, if we're assuming the Joker in this one is like the 12-year-old, that would probably be a bad choice.
Still, I'm just telling. Hey, make it part of the damn story. Make it worth something.
Well, they've been like,
don't just do. I think they're just doing it to get fucking points. I really do.
Well, I think you can at least make the argument here that these are characters that have gotten along well. They do have on-staging dynamics that work well. Don't get me wrong, is that maybe taking that further than it needs to be? Maybe. But it's an interesting choice.
I
think you can make an argument, at least in terms of Riddler, like, this show's actually done weirdly more with him than a lot of other versions of Batman.
Up to this point, yeah, I've loved everything they've done with the Riddler. They've brought the Riddler back into being a badass.
Mm.
No offense, Jim Carrey's version, not so much. He's more
Jim Carrey. It's Jim Carrey.
But, yeah, I could see them making one of them gay, but not both.
Well, it hasn't even really determined that it has been.
No,
it just has that undertone.
Yeah, it's writing the undertone. It has all the shots are like that. The dialogue's kind of set up.
They changed the background music behind it.
But it hasn't really suggested whether, you know, that's legitimately where they're going with it or if that's a setup for when Nygma betrays Penguin.
That's fine.
Yeah, maybe they're just changing it to where it's like the love of brothers or something.
Yeah.
But it did very much have that.
Oh, yeah. You definitely thought they were going in for a kiss that one scene.
Exactly.
Oh, it clearly had every shot.
That camera angle, and you're like, no, no.
And then when you...
No. And then they switch to a different camera angle, and he reaches around and hugs him. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, thank God.
But then right after that, you see that, like, kind of tight grip, or, like, on the...
Are you sure it was his shoulder, not his butt cheek?
Well, it's like... It's like his shoulder is, like, back. But, yeah, like, you have that grip, and it's like...
A tight embrace.
Yeah. Like, it lets it go, and then it plays with it and just brings it right back.
I actually thought they were going to show his hand moving nowhere there for a minute.
No thanks.
Feel like everything... It's just like... It's
being forced down your throat?
Yeah, it's like... What was that movie? The Producers and that song. Make it gay, make it gay, make it gay.
Are we talking about the original or remake?
No, the remake.
Okay.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Just like... They're forcing it.
I don't.
It has nothing to do with the story.
As weird as Gotham has been, I don't know if this is really that far off a deviation from everything else it's been doing.
Yeah. They're trying to get points. That's all it's about.
I don't know if that is. This actually seems. Don't worry. In comparison to all the other like relationship setups we've had in the show, this seems like the most organic.
Like we had the conversation off air. I think you could probably make the Riddler gay. I just don't see the Penguin as gay. I just, not that character. It just doesn't fit. It kind of fits Nygma's personality, maybe.
At the same
time,
this is really a far different character than any other version of Penguin.
No, I don't know. It's not that far off. Not from my not my head anyway.
Well, I mean, you look at well, which version of Penguin are like comes to mind first for you?
First
like,
of all, okay, Penguin is an aristocrat. He's also psychotic, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's also an evil mastermind. He's intelligent, smart. That part of the smart part is not so much in Gotham yet. Well, I wish it was. But they're finally starting to establish him as not just a mob boss and psychotic, but they're starting to establish him as an aristocrat, as a high society
criminal. At the very least a character that wants to be.
Right, exactly.
Much. And don't get me wrong, like that all those character traits are true there. Like that it really hasn't deviated that far in that regard. But, I mean, you do have Penguin being a character that's much more likable here than he is in a lot of other versions. Like, you look at, like, say, Danny DeVito in, like, Batman.
Danny DeVito was just so far off. A lot of people think that's what Penguin is. It's not, you know.
Well, I mean,
close.
I mean, you even go to, like, say, Batman, like, the animated series, and it's not really that far off from DeVito's version.
No, it pretty much is.
You think so?
Yeah, very much so.
He's smarter in the animated
version. He's smarter and he's much more high society. He's the high society criminal.
But, I mean, even if you go to, like, say, like the Arkham games where it more or less just portrays him as, like, a gang leader, like, there's a lot of variance to the character.
Really, Penguin's not a gang leader. He's not even really a mob boss. He's a high society, aristocratic villain. It's hard to explain.
I'm just saying, like, does this aspect really change any of those defining traits for you as the character?
Yeah,
because the character's never really expressed any form of sexuality in many other forms.
Penguin is too damn busy trying to accumulate wealth and power to even have time for a love interest. It just doesn't work for him, whether it's gay or not.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're going by, like, the old, like, 60s show, like, that's a bit more of a one-dimensional character.
If Penguin would have a love interest, it would just be a trophy to him. It would be an object of status.
This version of Penguin clearly does have, like, mother issues and, you know, kind of...
Well, he has father issues, too.
Yeah, but he does have a sense of abandonment.
Okay, fine, but, yeah, he's babied, but... I just don't see it. Sorry. Not buying it.
Well, speaking of, relationships in the show that are kind of off, the Mad Hatter Alice storyline has that whole, like, incest type...
Oh, yeah.
In love with my sister kind of thing.
Yeah, like, that's... Sick. That's, like, Lannister level messed up. It's actually worse because he more or less just mentally commanded that relationship.
Right, like exactly. Like, he was in her head because he controlled people like that.
That's arguably, like, it doesn't go into details of it to, like, a heavy extent, but clearly that's the worst relationship in the show.
And honestly, it really wasn't needed. I was kind of buying the whole thing up until that point, until they started introducing that whole part. I'm like, why? Again, why? You don't need
to. It's just one of those things, like, I feel like that's written in just to automatically make him a worse character.
He was already... You could have just kept going with it. He still would have been a terrible guy.
Oh, yeah. You're already having him telling people to kill themselves, kill their, spouse. You already set him up as a horrible character. You could make the argument that was, making it a step too far.
Yeah.
Yep. What do we think about actually finally seeing the Riddler start to pull strings? Behind the scenes, behind even the Penguin's back, and he's got a big overseeing hand.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what the show does really well with Nygma is makes the Riddler relevant again.
Yeah, it makes him very much a Kingmaker style character, where he's even working in the backgrounds, he's able to do more than he is as this bank robber that leaves clues sort of thing.
Yeah,
and it's a lot better dynamic for the character.
Sure, it just because that's what Riddler is. He's uber smart and he's uber manipulative.
And
that's what he does.
Though, to be honest, I think that's kind of interesting also because it kind of suggests towards the end that he actually does tell Penguin why he went about doing things the way he did and does kind of own up to kind of setting Butch up the way he did.
Right.
But it's not really sure to what extent.
Right, it did seem kind of, he's like, well, it needed to be genuine, that you're shocked and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, Penguin, how does he not realize that that means that Nygma knew and didn't tell him?
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, I kind of don't like how they make Penguin a little bit weaker around him. He's much more gullible around Enigma, and it's
He's very trusting Enigma,
very much so. And it's like I said, I almost wish that there was a little bit more balance there.
Well, I think is going to happen is I think when Enigma does turn on Penguin, that's when you're going to see Penguin go straight hard, like the Penguin we're used to. That'll be the tipping point, man. And you'll see him. He doesn't trust anybody. He doesn't put anybody too close. He doesn't, you know, he has that distance he keeps around.
I think that is one of the high parts of this, like, show, is when you do see Penguin actually flip out and go, you know, nuclear on people. Like, you really see, like, him just being able to just destroy anything in his path.
Sure, yeah. He's got the real dark side, which is part of Penguin.
Right. Speaking of dark side, we saw Ivy tonight.
Yeah.
And she kind of confronts Kat and says, I didn't realize how short you were. And she's like, do I know you? And she's like she was going to tell her. And she's like, not yet. This is too fun. But they were best friends. And it kind of caught me off guard. And then what I really want to get to is when she's watching all this go down between the Penguin and the Riddler.
Yeah, she seems excited.
She seems excited by the violence, by the...
Yeah, it's fun for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It's... On one hand, she's mentally, like, 10 or 12, something in that range.
Yeah, I think
that's... So she's still childish mentally. That's definitely a part of it. And, on the other hand, is, like, I don't know if the show really knows how they want to write or handle the character as a whole.
Yeah, like, do you think it's a foreshadowing of what's going to happen? Or you just think that's... They're just trying to develop her character.
Yeah, I think they're developing her because I think right now, yeah, she has a child. She has a mind of a child, but she's also a child that's grown up in shit and been shit on all her life. So now she's got a little bit of power and it's on a little bit of a trip. Yeah. You know, she's enjoying it.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk briefly about Bruce grown up in front of our eyes, or at least they're trying to portray him that way on TV with the shots. Yeah. I was talking to you guys, saying it looks like they're doing like a
there's like camera angles,
like or... Tom Cruise camera angle, like try to make him look taller than what he really is.
Yeah, stilts probably.
Well, that and there's even commenting on it, like, oh, look how fast you're growing up, sort of thing.
Yeah, like you're growing like a weed, and those kind of comments. Do we think that this character is going to play Bruce throughout, or you think they'll replace him with another character, like say?
If they do replace him, it'd have to have something like a time jump like they did for when Gordon was incarcerated.
Okay.
Yeah.
And even then, it'd have to be a character or an actor that was really similar.
Okay. Yeah, I think this kid's kind of grown on me as Bruce Wayne, so I'd hate to see that happen. But yeah, if he doesn't start to sprout up soon,
well, I mean,
they may have to find somebody else.
That it depends on how long they want to continue this run of the show and, like, whether they actually do want to take it to the point where he's starting out as Batman.
Or I just would actually. It being Gotham. I wish they would get to that point, honestly. I would rather see kind of like Smallville season 7, where you start to see him, you know, at first he's the blur, and then suddenly he's starting to wear the Superman insignia around and stuff like that, dressed all black even, but like Neo Superman or something. Yeah. But anyway, something similar. I would enjoy that more.
I don't know. Like, I kind of like the premise of this being like kind of a GCPD sort of show, and like kind of seeing where they go with like Jim Gordon down the line.
Yeah, Jim's interesting. He's not interesting enough. That's the problem.
Right. So like him as a private investigator, like it's almost like they were trying to split him into the GCPD, but every storyline pulls him back into the GCPD. Mm-hmm. So do we think eventually he will take over the GCPD and become Commissioner Gordon?
Not probably. Before Batman.
Especially, I mean, depending on where they go with the current commissioner arc sort of thing with the...
Because there isn't a commissioner right now.
Yeah.
There's just the captain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in the movies, in The Dark Knight, he's a lieutenant and he becomes Commissioner Gordon because of Batman. Mm. So, I don't know. It depends on where they go.
Yeah, I mean, Gotham is a show that they change things very rapidly in between even like two or three episodes. And it always has been like a show where it doesn't seem like it knows where its footing is. So it keeps just kind of changing pace.
Well, I think that's Fox for you, too.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't be surprised if that's a large chunk of it.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Fox has a bad history of... Yeah.
True.
2 to 3 season shows, and that's it.
All right, let's jump out of the TV realm, and we'll jump into the cinematic universe. Ben Affleck's Batman got a title.
Oh, really?
The Batman.
Really? So, like, the cartoon that had the Joker with dreads?
I don't think that's what they're going to go for.
I don't think that's what they're going with.
Oh, yeah. But it can't be any worse than the last Joker.
No, yeah. Well, let's not go there, right?
But yeah,
we don't want to talk about Leto. Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to be called The Batman.
Yeah.
Still no word on when in the Batman time frame it takes place, or what the overall premise is, or how it fits into the new
storyline, like the Justice League and all.
Right.
That.
Obviously, we'll probably see the Joker in this one, just since he's so tied into everything.
Yeah.
Do we think we'll see other cameos from other superheroes or villains?
Possibly. I mean, you could definitely see Harley Quinn making a cameo with Joker. Definitely could see maybe a cameo from one or two of the other members of the Justice League as well. I mean, especially because it's kind of setting up for that, or it's going to be just right after that, depending on when it's on.
Depends on when it is.
Yeah, depends on the timeline.
If this one's set up before Batman v Superman, we might see the Joker and Harley, but we won't see the Justice League, because he doesn't find out about him until...
Yeah.
So where
they put it in the timeline would be a very heavy indication of what happens.
Yeah, unless they're trying to set up why the Joker was the way the Joker was in Suicide Squad, and they want to tell that backstory for some reason. I don't see why they'd do it as a prequel. There's really no reason to, in my opinion. I don't know. Unless they got something bigger planned.
Well, because the rumor is that, you know, because they're going to have Deathstroke in it. And who's being played by the guy from True Blood.
The guy that played the werewolf.
Yeah.
So Deathstroke's in it. That's going to be the League movie.
Yeah.
That'll be League of Assassins
stuff. So Deathstroke's in it, and they were talking about Deadshot being in it.
No, really?
And so maybe we see another version of that scene where Batman gets Deadshot.
Could be.
So I don't know. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer came out. Teaser trailer came out. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think it was released early? Because...
to compete with the Batman?
Yes. To compete with all the other news coming out. Because if you watch the teaser trailer says, this summer. When was the last time you saw something get released in the fall that says this summer? Not coming soon or coming next summer, but this summer.
To be honest, if it got released early, I was kind of under the assumption it was going to be released with Doctor Strange, like, coming out here in, like, a week or two.
Right.
There's a lot of rumors of Doctor Strange, like the Rogue One trailer was supposed to drop with that, too, and it didn't.
Well, we might still actually get the first trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy, but this was the teaser trailer.
Yeah, but it actually had a pretty decent amount for a teaser trailer.
Yeah, but a lot of it was just quick pans.
Yeah. Like there was quick shots. But...
right, you didn't really see really a whole bunch of anything.
There's not much story, no.
So I wonder if it was just because they wanted to get ahead of all this stuff that was coming out. They wanted to make sure that their name was out there, because it says this summer. I mean, it just seems odd to me that they would release something in October that says this summer.
It wouldn't...
because typically that comes out...
like in July.
January. In January, they'll say this summer because it's the same year.
Yeah. Normally it would be like summer 2017.
Exactly.
Sort of thing. It wouldn't surprise me, especially after when Batman v Superman launched, and that's when they put out the Spider-Man and Civil War trailer, and everybody went apeshit.
Yeah, that's true.
They stole their thunder.
Yeah, well, Marvel, with Disney's backing, has pretty decent marketing committee in there.
Oh, yeah.
They're competing for, you know, film share or audience attention or whatever, however you want to address that.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Guardians trailer, though. I'm excited for it.
Oh, yeah. Like, pretty much any little bit you did see of that looked really good.
The hug scene was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah,
that would look pretty funny.
One little bit, like, some people are dancers, other people are not.
You need to find a woman who will dance. Would you like a hug? No, I'm good.
Hugs him anyway.
Yeah, him anyway. That's hilarious.
Oh, then in the end, you actually see, like, little baby Groot on, like, Rocket's shoulder.
Which is an exact opposite from the first poster, which is the other way around.
Yeah.
Which is Rocket on Groot, so...
So I thought that was, like, a nice little contrast sort of thing. It's like, that's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
What about the other trailer that got released? The Wolverine 3.
Logan.
Logan.
Personally, I really like this. Like, this actually looks like this is going to be the best Wolverine film they actually put out.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is the Wolverine trailer that everybody, or the Wolverine movie everybody's been waiting for. It looks gritty, it looks dirty, it looks awesome.
Well, even more than that, like, it actually looks like it has emotional depth to it. Like, you have this weird Last of the Mutant sort of thing protecting X-23. You have, like, a reluctant Logan whose powers are clearly diminished.
Yeah.
And
I've read some synopsis of it, and they said that his regenerative ability is slowing down. That's why you can see in some a lot of the things he's bleeding.
Bleeding and bruised and, like, still a badass, but he's, like, has to tough through it all. And mm-hmm.
He's in a constant state of pain.
Yeah, he looks like he's taking care of a senile Professor X and everything. Yeah.
I don't know. You had kind of mixed feelings about, like, the Logan trailer, though, right?
Yeah, I'm not sold on it. And I think it's because of watching the 90s cartoon series and watching that...
The alternate timeline.
Watching that Wolverine, and then, you know, in the yellow spandex, and watching the first several X-Men movies, and I'm like, you know, those are the X-Men. I like that kind of stuff. Mm.
This one is a far departure.
Yes, yeah. This doesn't feel like X-Men. This doesn't feel like a superhero movie for the most part. It feels like and I know why it feels that way, but it feels like it's the end of it.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And it is the end of it, especially for Hugh Jackman, who he said this is his last one.
Yeah.
And I can see why they're going to do this. Probably
might be true for Patrick Stewart as well.
I can see why they're going to try to do this, but I feel like it's not... Well, from this trailer, it doesn't feel like they're going off on a high note.
No, it doesn't.
And that's kind of what I wanted to... For Hugh Jackman, being that iconic Wolverine, was going off on a high note, as opposed to this...
I don't know. I think if you look at the character of Wolverine, like, I don't know if that's a story that ever ends on a high note.
Right. And I understand that, but I'm just saying from a fan perspective, the Logan storyline was a very dark and depressing kind of...
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be very dramatic. I think it's going to be action-packed, though, and I just think it's going to be gritty and... Yeah, he may go out in the end in a blaze of glory. I don't know.
Well, they said this one fits in with Days of Future Past.
Yeah. Really?
They see that this is how he affected the timeline, and that's why the mutants are no longer being around. And
I heard this text.
That is an odd version of that, because I assume they were still kind of continuing that franchise after this ended, and they're just kind of going with the soft reboot sort of thing.
Well, leave it to the X-Men. Anything to do with X-Men, the continuity is always going to be in question.
That's fair.
But, and on the other hand, I did read it actually takes place past Days of Future Past. Like, it's beyond even that point in the timeline. So, I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing Logan go out in a blaze of glory. I don't know if I want him to see him survive it. If you're going to do this, if you're going to make it gritty,
what pisses me off about this is that whole X-Men timeline keeps getting fucking redone and redone and redone.
Yeah, of course,
it is. One time when we thought it was going to be good, where he fixed the timeline and he comes back to the mansion,
Days of Future Past,
and he sees Jean Grey and he sees Cyclops, and it's like, oh my god, the next one's going to be awesome. But then we went a completely different direction, and we went with a different X-Men type thing, and it's like, come on. And then we get X-Men Apocalypse, and we're like, what the fuck is this? Like, this isn't anywhere near what the... Like, ugh. You know what I mean? I almost want to yell at the screen and be like, Barry, quit fucking with the timeline.
Well, to be fair, we were coming off
Civil War. Well, in this case, it'd be Quicksilver, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair to Apocalypse, we were coming off the Civil War high, and that's hard to come off of.
Yeah, I mean, that is a fair point.
But yeah.
Arguably, if you look at Apocalypse, it's not really a bad movie, but it's not to the modern standards we expect, like, from the modern superhero film.
When I think about Apocalypse, I think if it had come out, you know, 5 years ago, we probably would have thought it would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like any of the Quicksilver scenes.
Those are still hilarious.
Sorry. Like, that would have been, like, the highlight for, like, years.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, it still might be for a lot of, like, film fans.
So, yeah.
Okay. Last thing is a rumor. Brian, you brought it up to me.
Yeah.
Was that Aquaman Is rumored to have a Raiders of the Lost Ark type feel to it. Yep. So is it going to be like Raiders of the Lost City of Atlantis?
Yeah, it's the director actually said this.
James Wan.
Yeah, he said he's going for a Raiders of the Lost Ark meets Romancing the Stone kind of feel to it. So
yeah, he's made a couple interview talks where he was talking about it. Like he wanted to have like a film in a different sort of style.
Yeah,
like I think I heard an interview where he was comparing it to something like an adventure sort of film like Sinbad or something along those lines.
Yeah, I could definitely see the Aquaman genre kind of go into that. As long as they keep it near water, I don't want to see him like in the middle of the desert or something.
But right, like I was going to say.
You don't want to make him Scorpion King.
No. Right, I don't want to see Scorpion King. I don't want to see Prince of Persia through the sands of time or anything like that. I'd much rather, as long as they keep it in the water.
Yeah.
And so my other thing is, with as closely tied in the comics as they are, do you think we're going to see Themyscira with Atlantis? Because those are the two. One's the island of the sea. The other one is in the sea. And they have that interaction between the two. And even in...
Well, since Wonder Woman will be coming out, will be the film before it, right?
Yeah.
So it very well could have a tie-in from the Wonder Woman
film. Right, because you're also going to... Even in Flashpoint, the comic and the animated movie...
Yeah.
The ones that battle
Atlanteans and Themyscira.
Yeah, they battle in that.
I don't know if it will go that route with it, but I could definitely see one tying into the other.
Right.
And the interesting thing is, like before Batman vs Superman came out, both directors for Wonder Woman and Aquaman came out and were pretty much saying DC's kind of letting us go our own direction a little bit, giving us some leeway to kind of go for a different style and like kind of a different tone. Whereas you look at the Wonder Woman trailer, it has kind of something similar like Captain America, first Captain America, where it's a very warlike.
The
film.
First Avenger, yeah, where it's based in like the early whatever, and it doesn't have that that new modern feel to it.
Yeah, well, and you look at the Wonder Woman trailer; it has something kind of similar, and it might be going in a different direction with it. And if this director is kind of being upfront and DC's not being too reactionary, kind of letting them go for what they want to do, yeah, it could be a fun adventure title. Like, yeah, in a different way of kind of going about the series.
I think if they did, tie it into some sort of myth, whether it's, has to do with, what do they call it? What's the god? The
Greek, Poseidon.
Poseidon. They tie it in with that, or they tie it into some sort of a quest. Indiana Jones.
They've already cast a lot of the people from Atlantis in this. I mean, they've already cast a lot of them.
Yeah.
My only concern is, why is this one coming out so much later when he was the first person they cast? They cast him first out of everybody else. Before they cast Ben Affleck, before they cast Gal Gadot, before they cast anybody else, they casted him, but his movie is coming out so much later than everybody else's. Well, why
at
is
least
that?
He's getting a film instead of like Green Lantern, where he's not necessarily.
Yeah, where the Green Lantern is kind of like on the back burner.
Yeah,
it's kind of.
It could be they might not know where they want the story to fit in with the shared universe. So maybe there's a lot of editing in terms of rewrites on the script.
Or they needed Aquaman for Justice League, and now they're just they're finally putting the book together. Kind of unlike Marvel, who had pretty clear vision right from Iron Man 2, what they were going to do.
Especially. Well, you can make the argument, even by the time you get to Thor, they had a rough idea of where they went.
Yeah,
to go
they were
with that.
Forming the MCU right from
well, yeah,
point
I mean,
on,
even like in that film, they already are kind of setting up for like Infinity War, more or less.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, one big story.
Okay. So that'll do it for today.
Alrighty.
Anybody else got anything else they want to talk about?
I think we've reached it. We're already over an hour, so yeah.
Well, we had a lot to cover.
Yeah, we did.
We had more longer in-depth conversations with several of our series that we didn't get to talk to about last time. So,
yep, so we'll have to keep touching base every week and see if the ambiguously gay villains may continue or not.
Right.
That's what you want to watch? Just determine whether you want to keep watching Gotham.
No. I'll watch either way. I'm just...
It's Penguin Gaydar.
Yeah.
Just watching. Don't do it.
Yeah. No!
I don't.
It just annoys you.
Well, again, just make it worth my time. So don't just do it to do it.
Nudity or shut.
No, I mean, just story-wise. Don't...
Look at that. Our viewership with the gay community is down. The gay and lesbian community is down. I know. We'll make them gay. Okay.
All right, guys. Well, gay villains or not, we'll be back next time. So check us out. You can check us out at 4 Midwest Guys on Facebook. Facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can check us out on Twitter. You can check us out on YouTube. Just go ahead and Google us. You'll find us everywhere. For Brian Hinkenbarb saying goodbye. Be Willie.
See you later.
And Aaron.
See you.
Adios. Muchachos.